Here, transcribed, is another in NBC's outstanding parade of new shows. Four Star Playhouse, a repertory company of four great Hollywood stars.
This is Rosalind Russell.
This is Fred McMurray.
This is Loretta Young.
This is Robert Cummings.
Yes, these are the stars heard weekly on Four Star Playhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our four-star players and star of tonight's play, Miss Rosalind Russell.
Thank you, and welcome to our playhouse again. Every Sunday evening at this time, Fred McMurray, Loretta Young, Robert Cummings, and I appear in new dramatizations of stories selected from Cosmopolitan magazine. Stories by the world's leading writers of popular fiction. Tonight, you'll find me playing the part of Judy Norris, a musical comedy star who finds a cure for the nerves that are part of the price of her success. You'll be relieved to hear that I don't sing. It's our new approach to musicals, no music, except chin music. Good talk, that is, and lots of laughter, we hope. Now, here is Robert Carson's taut comedy, Paradise. USA. The surgical mask over my face smelled of rubber and germicide. It reminded me of when I had my impacted wisdom tooth removed. Only this was serious. In fact, Dr. Riley was wasting his valuable time on me. I was going to die. The biggest specialist in New York had practically guaranteed that 5 years before. I was a goner.
Breathe deeply, Mrs. Erpenworth Norville.
What?
Breathe deeply, Mrs. Erpenworth Norville.
Oh, I thought you called me Mrs. Erpenworth Norville.
Nonsense, Mrs. Erpenworth Norville.
I'm going to die.
Nonsense.
You want to bet money?
Nonsense.
You'll see.
Nonsense.
You'll see. I didn't have much longer. I tried remembering things. I had to remember everything quickly and live it all over again quickly in case my memory didn't exist where I was going. Let's see. It had all started in the spring, of course. There'd been another cocktail party. I was an old-fashioned girl myself. I'd had too many old-fashions. Thinking to myself that I'd probably need two sleeping tablets to conk me off that night, I became nastier than usual with everybody. I was munching moodily on $3 worth of caviar when the crew haircut, with 6 feet a man underneath it, sat down next to me.
Hello.
And goodbye.
Who are you?
Both of you. Depart. Go away.
Both of you?
Either you are identical twins or I need glasses. Or have I had too many glasses?
I'm just Paul Terrace, and you've had too many glasses.
I'm Judy Norris, and make of it what you will.
I've heard the name.
I invented the electric light.
Didn't I hear you sing in Oklahoma?
No, I've never been west of the Mississippi.
No, I mean the musical comedy, Oklahoma.
Only it was Tennessee.
You danced a little, you sang a lot, off-key.
You go home.
No, you sang in a brassy, unusual voice. I liked it.
I know, it made you think of your boyhood days in your father's sawmill. But I get $2,000 a week for singing that way, is that bad?
You ought to eat. Let's go someplace.
To sober me up, I presume, huh?
No, so I can sit and look at you. You're so lovely.
Eating?
Any old way.
Oh, all right. And I may yet invent the electric light. Then I'll be able to see where I'm going. Wholesale. Well, how did you discover this graveyard beanery? With a pirate map?
Well, the food's very good here.
Yeah, the flies like it.
I used to have a studio near here.
Studio?
Mm-hmm. I paint.
Oh, and what do you paint?
Pictures.
Well, I didn't think you needed a studio to paint Tom Sawyer's fence.
That was whitewash.
Ah, I suppose you want to do a portrait of me.
No, your face is beautiful, but it's rather empty.
What do you suggest I do to fill it up?
Have some more stew.
Well, I don't know if I should take this guy straight or with a dash of strychnine.
Where do you live?
Oh, I have a humble little 14-room retreat on Park Avenue.
I'll take you home.
Oh, no. No, you must never see the bitter squalor of my life.
Are there buses on Park Avenue? It's a little off my beach.
Oh, it's only 4 miles, and I have my French heels on. Let's walk.
Okay. Hey, nice apartment you have here.
Not bad for $1,000 a month.
Nice, nice place.
I'm curious, nature boy. Aren't you going to make a pass?
Who at?
Well, I could call my name.
Very nice diggings
now
here.
Now, look, you, I have a pain in my head. It's called migraine. They don't know what it comes from, but if I sit still and talk, I suffer more. So let's go to a newsreel theater, you and I, or you go home, huh?
I'll go home.
Shall we draw that up in treaty form?
Tell me, are you working now?
Well, I was in a show this season, but it folded. What about it?
Well, I want to court you for a few days, but I'm strapped for money.
Do tell.
Will you lend me $100?
Well, I'm an expensive date. Why not make it $500?
Hundred's enough. I'll pay you back the first of the month.
Will a check be okay?
Good as gold.
Better. My gold sings in a brassy voice. Off key, remember? But thank you for your confidence in your dream girl, namely me.
I'll pay you back first of the month.
You said that. Do you always say everything? Twice, thrice, and thrice?
Make the check payable to Paul Terrace.
You know, you're a million laughs. I'll do it.
P-A-U-L-T-E-R-R-I-S.
How do you spell dollars?
D-O-L-L.
Oh, thank you. Here you are now, my barefoot Romeo.
Thank you.
And if, dear one, it bounceth, think not that your love was false, but she has at other times ere now been stuck but good.
It won't bounce.
And may I say, Mac, that never has the bite been put on me in quite so novel a fashion? To court me yet.
Well, I mean it.
You know, if you were tight for dough, why didn't you ask me straight out for a loan?
I love you.
I know. You loved me in Oklahoma, only I wasn't in it.
You know, you need a guy like me.
Not like you need that $100. And when, may I ask, may I look forward to seeing you and my century?
Well, I'll ring you from New Jersey. I live there.
Ah, just reverse the charges.
No, wait. Let's make a date right now. We'll save a toll call.
Name the Boward Trysting Place.
Meet me at 59th Street and 5th Avenue tomorrow at 1.
Primed for lunch, or shall I come at?
Well, I can't afford lunch and dinner. Just dinner. I'll buy you dinner.
Oh, no, Buck. Let's live off nature. I know a couple of swans in Central Park.
Huh?
Oh, I'll see you tomorrow. I was puzzled and disturbed. I didn't know how to take this Paul Terrace. His calmness and patience, so unlike my own temperament, confused me. And yet it appealed in a strange way. I went to meet him on Fifth Avenue. Everything around me represented the New York battleground where I'd fought to fame and fortune, never relaxing a minute. There was Paul Terrace, with his borrowed $100 and seedy air, looking pleased and at peace. He irritated me. We had a rousing time at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. I was footsore and peevish when Paul finally brought me to my apartment door. Won't you come in for a fraction of a second?
No, got to get back to Jersey and get my sleep.
Well, you picked the right place for it.
I want to tell you, I had a very pleasant day today.
Well, we must do it again sometime, in 10 years or so.
Well, next time we'll go to the Museum of Modern Art.
By next time, it won't be so modern anymore.
I'll give you a ring.
Say, you just don't give up, do you?
Well, not with you.
Why not?
You need me.
What for?
For what you need.
This could go on forever.
It's just what I want.
What?
Good night, Judy. Sleep tight.
Funny thing. That's just what I did. And without sleeping pills. I reached for the prescription, all right, but all at once I realized that my head didn't ache and my hand didn't shake. I put down the bottle of pills and turned out the light, and the Sandman crept into the room and slugged me. Boom! For the first time in years, I slept dreamlessly all night. But in the morning, my agent Jerry Malone came in to dangle fame and fortune to me again.
Why, Judy, you've got to like this. It means fame and fortune.
You mean heartaches and insomnia.
Music by Rutgers and Mallettberg. Dancing by Alistair Thoe. You in it. How can it miss?
It can't. But if it does, it's my second flop in the same season, and I bruise easily.
Now, Judy.
No, Jerry.
No, Jerry, no, Jerry. Look. What's Mary Martin got that you haven't got?
South Pacific and Ezio Pinza. Next question.
You can't stay away from Broadway too long, kid.
Oh, no, no, I know.
No, say you'll think about it.
I'll think about it.
Thanks, Judy. Well, I'll get in touch with you at the end of next week.
Oh, Jerry.
Yeah?
If you see a long, sad guy sitting down in the lobby named Paul Terrace, send him up, will you? He solves things for me.
Well, are you going to do the musical, Judy?
No, I don't know, Paul. I can't afford two failures in one year.
What'll you do?
I don't know. Might go to California, pan gold.
Oh, come on, I'm no kidding.
I'd go to Europe, but I can never find the powder room in foreign countries.
What?
Of course, I could try the Channel.
No, look, avoid... Save your money. Stay here.
If I stay here, somebody will put me to work and my head will ache again.
Not necessarily.
Inevitably.
Not if we get married.
Married? Married? You to me? Me to you?
Why not?
Oh. Well, thanks awfully, but you mustn't feel the $100 obligate you.
I love you.
You say that as if you were giving the correct time.
But I do.
You wouldn't like being married to me, Paul. I'm temperamental and mean unless everything goes perfectly, perfectly.
It might go perfectly, perfectly.
Oh, Paul. Oh, no, no. You are nice, and you're a quiet, likable square, and you relax me. But there's such a thing as being so relaxed you can't move a muscle. And after all, I don't want that either.
Okay, let's go to 57th Street.
Gee, can we? I always wanted to go to 57th Street.
Well, I'm meeting Tad Halloran at an art gallery where some of my pictures are hanging.
On the wall or on gallows?
You like Tad Halloran.
Look, don't you ever answer my questions.
He's my roommate. He's a sculptor.
What's Tad Halloran's name?
Of course I answer your questions.
What time is it?
Let's go.
Oh.
Well, Miss Norris, where did Paul ever find you?
He blew a moose horn, and out of the woods I did plunge.
No, I saw her in Oklahoma.
There are no meese in Oklahoma.
But you mustn't come to art galleries, Miss Norris. May I call you Judy, You mustn't come to art galleries, Judy. You make art look uncouth and ugly.
Ah, that's sweet of you, Halloran. But how much could anyone louse up a painting like, say, that accident hanging up there on the wall?
I painted that.
Blindfolded?
It's one of Paul's abstract things. Don't you like it?
Oh, well, I'm getting used to it.
Well, let me explain it.
No, Paul, let me guess.
She's wonderful, Paul.
Now, tell me, Paul, how much are you asking for that mishmash up there?
$50.
$1,000.
Sold to the beautiful patron of arts for 1,000 seeds. Where do I make out the check?
No, Judy, I won't let you buy that painting.
Paul, are you nuts? Think of all the groceries that'll buy her.
She is not buying that painting.
But I love it.
She loves it, Paul. I love food. You love her. Perfect.
And I'm going to marry you.
Huh?
What?
We're getting married.
What?
Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Paul Terrace. Well.
No. Now, look, I was married once to an actor. We were both infatuated with him, but my infatuation didn't last. I don't want to try it again. Now, is that clear?
Perfectly. Let's go, Judy.
Where?
To get a marriage license.
Now, wait a minute, Paul. Marriage is a big step for a girl.
It's a big step for a boy, too.
Are you sure you want to take it?
I'm sure I want to take it, and I'm sure you ought to take it.
But
now, come on. My car's outside.
Oh, well, kill or cure.
Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Paul Terrace. This time for Paul.
Thanks, Ted.
Now, about our honeymoon, Paul.
Oh, yes. You must go on a nice long honeymoon.
How about Honolulu?
Wonderful. I'd like that.
You'd like that. You'd like Bermuda better.
No, I've been there.
We're going to New Jersey.
Oh, Paul. Paul, have you ever been to Niagara Falls?
Yes, I have.
I haven't.
Good, you go there.
We are going to Paradise, New Jersey, where I live.
Where we live, Paul.
We?
Well, don't be stuffy, Judy. You're going to love being our wife.
You are listening to the four-star Playhouse dramatization of Robert Carson's Cosmopolitan magazine story, Paradise, USA, starring Rosalind Russell.
We went to live in Paradise, New Jersey. All three of us. Paul painted, Ted sculpted. Ted wasn't a bad fellow after all. In fact, he was gay and charming and quite insane and a good tonic for my several bad moments in Paradise. I used to bring him coffee and crackers while he was at work and we talked at length, sometimes even making sense.
Good coffee.
Thanks.
One of the many rewards of marriage.
Well, why not try it yourself?
I can't get married. Got to have a girl.
Well?
I always just seem to miss the boat.
Well, don't go by boat. Take the train.
You know, I might. Well, I got to finish this head.
Ted, how long have you known Paul?
I met him right after the war.
Is he a good painter?
He was a great one once.
Well, what happened?
Clashed with another painter named Adolf Hitler. His bomber crashed and he almost lost his right arm.
Oh.
And he had to learn to paint all over again with his left arm.
Oh, he never said a thing about that to me.
Oh, he'll start clicking again. Just wait.
You like him, don't you?
I like him and everything about him.
Thanks.
And if Paul weren't the nice guy he is...
Yes?
I wouldn't be the nice guy I am or... seem to be. To new and superficial observers. Now beat it, kid. Posterity is waiting for this marble I am hewing.
Well, hurry then. Take the train. Oh, it's lovely here, Paul. So quiet. Peaceful.
Yeah. Paradise has its points.
One of its nicer points is this porch.
Like New Jersey better?
I now regard NJ as ready for statehood.
A month ago, you wanted it run out of town.
A month ago, I was still having my headaches.
See?
Oh, Paul, I have a lady in the balcony. She has a question.
Shoot, lady.
It's about her platinum wedding ring set with diamonds. Even such teensy diamonds run into lettuce.
I had a wristwatch. Pretty good one, like flyers used with lots of gadgets. It belonged to my bombardier. He wanted me to have it after. Well, anyhow, I gave it to a man on 3rd Avenue, and the man on 3rd Avenue gave me the ring, even Stephen.
Oh, what about your bombardier?
He'd understand.
Paul.
Yeah, on account of he'd know that anyone I loved would deserve what it took to get the ring.
Paul. Paul, I...
Uh-huh.
Oh, nothing. You're very good to me. You're good for me.
I'm dull.
You're good for me, and you keep me from blowing my top.
Okay.
Well, no appointed woman is really chic without her top.
Yeah, that's logic.
I don't have hangovers, and I don't take stuff to put me to sleep anymore. Paradise, oh, it's wonderful.
Well, don't you miss the excitement of Broadway, the stage, the lights, people creating things?
Oh, well, I...
Yeah. Well, that answers my question. But I'm not worried. I've got you where I want you. I still owe you that $100.
Spring Paul began to paint portraits in his spare time. And he began to paint mine, too. New York jitters, sleepless nights, cocktail parties. They were far, far away. And then one day, the serpent entered paradise. My agent had a great new musical for me. At first, I didn't listen. My agent showed me my shrinking bank account. I heard applause again. I saw the rave notices. I thought of all I'd fought for, being abandoned. I said, go home, I'll let you know. I asked Tad for his advice. Coffee, Michelangelo?
Thanks, Judy. Just set it down where I'm bound to sit on it.
Oh, how's it coming?
Two more weeks and some lucky fellow will have an original Ted Halloran for his tombstone.
Tad, people like us, painters, sculptors, actors, singers, we've got to paint and act and sculpt and sing, haven't we? Tad, haven't we?
So you've been talking to you.
I've been asked to do a show.
Yeah, I saw the car drive over that character.
Oh, what'll I do?
No, ask your husband, Judy.
Oh, I know his answer. It'll give you a headache.
Life gives you a headache.
Tell me what to do.
I can't, Judy. Paul's my friend and Paul's your husband. He makes the jokes where you're concerned.
Oh, if he'd only be more like you about these things.
Those are hard words, Judy, for Paul and me.
Tad.
Yeah.
Nothing.
We all have our work and our own minds to make up. Well, thanks for the coffee, Judy. Back to work I go.
But, Paul, it's sure to be a hit.
No, Judy, you'll get headaches again.
But you could work in my New York apartment.
No.
You could go off and paint in the West Indies.
I won't paint in the West Indies when my wife is singing off-key in the West 40s.
Off-key?
Well, anyhow.
Well, what about the bankroll I've got just for singing off-key in the 40s? What about the bankroll I had, that is?
Oh, I see.
Paul... Now, wait a minute.
I didn't know I was eating into your capital that fast.
I didn't mean that, Paul. I only meant that the money is going and I have to get more.
I think you're right, Judy. I think you ought to go back to New York for a while.
Now, please.
I need my work and you need yours. When we need each other, well, the trains are running, aren't they, both ways?
Well, oh, will you see me off at the train tomorrow?
Sure. Tomorrow.
Paul didn't see me off. Paul didn't feel well, he said. Tad saw me off. Just before the train pulled out, he handed me a roll of bills.
Paul gave me this to give to you. $100, he says he owes you.
In New York, plans began for the show in September. Then the cocktail parties, the hangovers. I didn't sleep. I had headaches. I hired and fired my maids. I redecorated the apartment. I wasn't feeling any too well. I went to see a doctor.
Nothing out of the ordinary at all, Mrs. Terrace. Just going to have a baby, that's all.
That's all?
Well, sorry to spoil the Cabbage Patch version for you.
Doctor, the biggest specialist in New York said I could not have a child, that it would kill me.
Perhaps that's what you wanted him to tell you.
But he was the biggest specialist in New York.
Well, come back in a month and we'll see. That is, if you're still alive, Mrs. Terry.
Yes?
Judy?
Who is it?
Michelangelo.
Tad! Tad Halloran, where are you? Can you come over right away?
It'd be better if you went down to a bar on 32nd Street and 3rd Avenue where Paul is getting drunk.
Drunk? Paul?
And not working since you left.
What?
You needed him, Judy. Now he needs you. See to it.
32nd and 3rd.
Oh, Judy.
Oh, Paul, darling. Tad just phoned me.
Shh.
television. Base is full.
Now, Paul, you mustn't do this. Now, come with me.
I've discovered my right arm can lift a glass and it's great.
Oh, dear. This may not be the time or place to say this, but I'm going to have a baby.
I'm
going to
have another bourbon. Baby?
We could go back to my apartment.
When?
Right now.
Right now? You can't have a baby right now.
No, no, Paul. No, no.
Joe, hot water, towels, plenty of hot water.
You don't understand.
Hot bourbon, it's scalpels, towels.
Paul, it's not for a long time.
The alcohol, vermouth, and two olives.
Oh, heavens.
The ambulance.
Now, get out of here. I don't want my baby to look like a martini. Come on. Went back to paradise again, and this time it was paradise. This time it stuck. Paul painted again. He began selling some work. He finished up my portrait because I wanted him to. Because I wanted him to have it if I shouldn't be around sometime soon. Snow fell. On a still winter's night, the baby arrived. Of course, everything went wrong, just as the big New York specialist said it would. But the doctor let Paul in to talk to me for the very last time on Earth.
Only a moment, Mr. Terrace.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. Judy.
I'm sorry, Paul.
Oh, what for?
I did love you. You've got to believe that.
I know.
Keep the picture, Paul. Always keep it.
Of course.
No. No, you must forget me.
Forget you?
Yes. Yes, you must.
Forget you?
Yes, please.
Forget you?
You must.
Forget?
Yes.
There. That does it, Mrs. Erpenwerfenwuffle. How are you, Mrs. Erpenwerfenwuffle?
Who, me?
Well, how do you feel now, Mrs. Erpenwerfenwuffle-Terrace?
I'm dead.
Hiya, Judy.
Paul.
Hi.
You dead, too?
Not very.
Oh, I died. It was a lovely scene.
Oh, you presented me with a beautiful little girl, and the doctor says you can have six more.
Then I just dreamed it. It was a dream.
And so is the baby, baby.
Oh, Paul. Is she nice?
Well, yes.
Paul!
It's nothing serious, only that voice of hers.
Voice? It's a lie. Whoever heard of a newborn baby singing off key? That takes practice.
You have been listening to Four Star Playhouse, tonight starring Rosalind Russell in Robert Carson's story, Paradise, USA, adapted for radio by Milton Geiger. Ira Grossell was featured as Paul. Others in the cast were Shepard Menken, Dan O'Herlihy, and Ken Christie. Four Star Playhouse is directed by Warren Lewis. Music composed and conducted by Albert Harris. Portions were transcribed. Rosalind Russell will soon be seen in the Columbia Pictures comedy, Teller to the Judge. Each week at this time, one of our four-star players, Rosalind Russell, Fred McMurray, Loretta Young, and Robert Cummings, will be heard in a special adaptation of a popular fiction story selected from Cosmopolitan magazine, written by the world's foremost fiction authors. Next week on Four Star Playhouse, Loretta Young will be starred in Virginia Faulkner's delightful comedy, Once Upon a Horse. Hey there, don't toss that lighted match out the window. You'll land among the guilty nine. Who are the guilty nine? They're the people who are responsible for the 9 out of 10 forest fires that are caused by carelessness. Help conserve our forests. It's your country. Save it from fire. Don't miss the biggest and funniest radio show of the year. Next Tuesday, NBC is giving a party honoring Fibber McGee and Molly's 15th anniversary on the air. Just listen to the guest list. Bob Hope, Jimmy Durante, Perry Como, Dennis Day, Robert Young, Irene Dunne, the great Gildersleeve, William Bendix, and many other NBC stars. Of course, Fibber McGee and Molly will be along, too. So we repeat, don't miss this full hour show of shows next Tuesday night heard on NBC. Now, stay tuned for the premiere of Theater Guild on the Air. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.